Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Cirumalla from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ranju. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us for Deepak Fertilisers Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. Today we have with us from the management Mr. S.C. Mehta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Mahesh Girdhar, President, Crop Nutrition Business, Mr. Tarun Sinha, President, Technical Ammonium Nitrate, Mr. Amitabh Bhargava, President and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Deepak Balwani, Head, Investor Relations. I would like to invite Mr. S.C. Mehta to begin the call with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Very good afternoon to all of you. I take indeed pleasure in welcoming you all for the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Deepak Fertilisers. I hope you all have had a chance to look at the financial statements and earnings presentation uploaded on the exchanges and our website. At the outset, let me share my joy in bringing to your attention that, you know, we've seen in Q1 the revenues crossing 3,000 crores and an almost 59% jump over last year same quarter. Beyond that, the profits have crossed 436 crores, a jump of 233% over last year. We saw almost over 87% of our segment profits were contributed by the chemical segment. All of this, despite a huge jump in all the raw material costs that we saw. Obviously two aspects that could emerge in anyone's mind, and I thought I'll share some of those insights and then of course draw Amitabh, our CFO, to take you through the details. If I were to look at three undercurrents, besides, you know, the price increases and the broad turmoil that all of us are seeing because of the Ukraine war and other things. If one were to look at a fundamental level, there were three undercurrents that I saw. One is at the macroeconomic level, we continue to see an excellent alignment with the India growth story that all our businesses are having, and particularly the chemical segment. Be it mining, infrastructure or China plus one shift, all of it, you know, bringing in a good positive undercurrent which is gonna be ongoing. Despite such price hikes even in our finished products, one aspect that was evident was that there was no demand destruction, and actually it was to the contrary. The other aspect that we noticed was there is a resilience in the downstream industry to absorb some of those prices. Those were, I would say, deeper insights. The second insight that we saw was that whatever investments that we have made in strengthening our operational efficiencies, our systems and processes, our supply chain management, all of it got tested. All of it, you know, despite the COVID, despite the geopolitical situations, it, you know, stood the test of time. That was the other undercurrent that we saw very clearly. The third, of course, has been our continued drive to move from commodity to specialty and giving now more customized solutions. That also we are seeing that it is beginning to bear fruits. If one were to look at what next, what is likely to be the situation as we look at Q2, Q3, Q4, and the rest of the year and maybe years ahead. So one aspect that we see is that we do expect, you know, this kind of a heated situation on pricing to mellow down. We expect lowering of both finished goods pricing as well as the raw material pricing. Now, as is normal, that there could be a gap of a month or two between the two. And if the finished goods pricing drop faster than the raw material, it may impact the delta temporarily. And if it's the other way around, it will continue to ensure robust delta. But it is a matter of a temporary adjustment of a couple of months. We do also expect the normal standard bit dampening in the chemical mining sector during monsoons. But that is also a typical phenomenon every year. Having said that, there are again three aspects that I see which will provide a positive thrust for the balance year. So number one that I see is the additional capacities emerging out of our operational efficiencies and debottlenecking will come in handy, which will kick in the balance part of the year. So that is going to be a positive thrust. The second is at an operational level, our continued drive on strong digitization, applied R&D thrust to achieve not only operational efficiency, but also customizing, customer orientation. That is going to, you know, keep unfolding over the next many quarters to bring in, you know, a better positioning. And lastly, on a continual basis, our management strategy change, where for each of our businesses, this move that we are bringing in from commodity to customized specialization, that is going to continue to give us better brand creation and premiums. And that, if you would have seen in the quarter that went by, and of course the quarters that are going to follow, in the crop nutrition business, we are bringing in crop-specific grades more and more. We are branding it as Crop Tech. And it is not just NPKs, but NPK plus micronutrients and, you know, plus a package of practices which are going to be focused on specific crops. Even on the acid business, we are now looking at repositioning some of our products, customizing it to the solar grade nitric acid or steel grade nitric acid. Even in case of IPA, instead of a commodity IPA, we are looking at focusing on specifically on the pharmaceutical sector and also introducing the medical wipes and the sanitizing system for hospitals. Even for the mining sector, in case of technical ammonium nitrate, instead of just focusing on the product, we are now moving towards TCO, that is total cost of operations for specific mines, and bringing in composite holistic solutions as we go forward. So these are aspects which are going to continue to give, I would say, positive tailwind as we see the balance here. Now, as far as projects goes, the ammonia project continues to be on a fast track execution, no holds barred. And we are looking at, you know, with that coming in, it will bring a solid foundation for all our three businesses to contain the raw material volatility and also, of course, bring in attractive IRRs by itself. And we continue to expect it to be commissioned by fourth quarter FY24. I must share that the ammonia project will be giving us somewhere close to 25,000 crores of Atmanirbhar or import substitution over the next 10 years, plus a large reduction in the carbon footprint. So we are very happy to contribute to the larger interests of India in that fashion. Similarly, our TAN project work has begun at site, and there again we target to complete by second half of 2024. And that you are aware that it is based on solid demand from the coal, limestone, cement, infrastructure sectors. So with the above two projects, we will, in that sense, complete our strategic CapEx drive. Based on, if you recall, we had, you know, two drivers, strategic drivers there. One was to get our size right. So with this, now fertilizers, we have invested triple our capacity. Acids we have invested, and, you know, we are probably Asia's largest. With the TAN coming in, we will be among the world's top three, and then ammonia coming in to feed all the three businesses. So, both these aspects, getting our size right and capturing the value in our complete chain, that will get completed with this CapEx, you know, getting implemented. So what will follow will be our strong forward integration drive, moving from commodity to solution specialty. And that will, of course, unfold quarter on quarter, quarter on quarter, as we work harder to customize each of our products to the specific needs of each of the end segments. So with this overview, let me hand you over to Amitabh Bhargava, our CFO, President, Finance, to now take you through the nitty-gritty details of how the quarter went by. Amitabh?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mehta. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining the Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals conference call to discuss Q1 FY23 results. We maintained our growth momentum while concentrating on transformation initiatives. And in fact, Q1 was our best ever quarterly performance. We reported a total operating revenue of rupees 3,031 crores, an increase of 59% YOY compared to same period last year. Our operating EBITDA augmented to rupees 740 crores compared to rupees 290 crores in Q1 FY22. Operating EBITDA margins expanded significantly to 24.3% from 15.2% during Q1 FY22. Our net profit for the quarter recorded a growth of over 233% YOY to rupees 436 crores with margins of 14%. Chemical segment, as Mr. Mehta was also mentioning earlier, contributed to about 87% of total segment profit. Going into a little bit of a details in chemical segment, during the quarter, our manufactured specialty chemicals business recorded a revenue of 1,771 crores, an increase of 95% compared to Q1 FY22. Segment margins expanded from 19% Q1 FY22 to 41% in Q1 FY23. Manufactured acids for the quarter recorded a revenue of rupees 424 crores, an increase of 156% versus last year, and manufactured IPA recorded revenues of rupees 98 crores. Manufactured mining chemical business recorded a revenue of rupees 1078 crores, an increase of 177% YOY during the quarter. Mining chemical business volumes were supported by continued demand from coal, as reflected in Coal India and SCCL's overburden performance. AN melt, ammonium nitrate melt, volumes grew by 39% YOY, high density ammonium nitrate by 15% YOY, and low density volumes declined by 16% YOY. During the quarter, our IPA plant operated at capacity utilizations of 58%, and both acids and TAN operated at 91% and 111% respectively. As far as the fertilizer segment is concerned, the revenues grew by 26% YOY, although segment margins were largely impacted on account of sharp increase in raw material prices. With steep increase in raw material prices such as ammonia, phosphoric acid and MOP, the production cost of fertilizer has been significantly higher compared to the same period last year. NP, NPK inclusive of our CropTech recorded a sales growth of 36% YOY to rupees 1,121 crores in quarter 1 FY23, and Bensulf sales increased by 109% YOY to rupees 52 crores in the quarter 1 compared to quarter 1, in fact 52 crores, increased by 52 crores, or increased to 52 crores, I'm sorry, in Q1 FY23. NP and PK plants operated with utilization levels of 75% and Bensulf plant operated at 76% utilization level. The available capacity across our plants provides us headroom for future growth potential. I think with this I would as such stop the commentary and we'll be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Janish Garda, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, management. Congratulations for good sets of numbers. My first question is regarding EBITDA margin of 24%. Will it be maintained in near terms and future terms? Will the margin will be maintained where the two new plants get started in FY24? And second question is regarding in investor presentation, in one of the heading renowned investor, one investor name is Dolly Khanna is mentioned, but in investor means I am not able to show in holdings the name of Dolly Khanna.
Okay, to your first question, I think Mr. Mehta just, I think he did touch upon this aspect that while this quarter we saw a significant increase in both raw material prices and finished good prices. The encouraging part was that there was no demand destruction, and each of our products, by and large, the demand remained strong. So I think that is one aspect that we believe and we are confident that that is what is going to be the case in coming quarters. What happens to raw material prices and finished good prices, as Ms. Mehta was also mentioning, there is always tend to be a lag or lead in terms of passing on of some of these raw material prices so to that extent, it's very difficult to say what could be the EBITDA margins going forward. Q2, as he mentioned, is in generally a lean quarter for us,
yeah.
Particularly in the chemical segment. And to that extent, there is obviously, the demand side because of monsoon in both our chemical segments, nitric acid and TAN, is likely to be weakened. So I think that is pretty much what we are in a position to comment at this stage.
Yeah, can you give the margin? Means if we are not able to maintain 24% margin, can you give the lower base margin as per management expectation?
We are not in a position to guide any. See, if you would appreciate that the whole geopolitical environment is so uncertain that at this stage for us to predict sitting here what would happen in the balance three quarters is very, very difficult. So we would refrain from.
Company has a long history, so it must have any prediction or it will. In the worst case scenario, our margin will be this much percent and all.
Like I said, we would refrain from giving any guidance on margin, given the kind of volatility we are seeing in both finished good and raw material side.
Okay. And regarding that investor, investor presentation, investor Dolly Khanna name is mentioned, but in holdings I'm not able to see Dolly Khanna name.
Basically, if you are looking at BSE provides the investor details only above 1%. For the other details, you can write to us separately, and we can provide you with the top 200 shareholder register for your reference.
Okay. So in where I have to write?
You can write to me and copy to company secretary. We'll provide you the necessary details.
Okay.
Our details are there at the end of the presentation.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
On very good results. Just one main point to seek your clarifications on. It's regarding the debt position at this point in time as of June 30th. If you could please just help us with the gross and debt number. And also how much CapEx has already been executed on the ammonia project and how much is pending to be spent?
Yeah. So as far as ammonia is concerned, or let me just first answer your first question, that is our gross debt is about 2,900 odd crores and net debt is about 1,930 odd crores. So those are the numbers as of end of June. As far as ammonia CapEx is concerned, out of 4,350 that we had estimated, we have already spent the CapEx of about 2,850 odd crores. And therefore the balance, 4,350 minus 2,850 is what is yet to be incurred, which largely will get incurred in completing the project. As we mentioned that it's likely to be commissioned in quarter one of FY24.
Understood. So, not sure if you are in a position to sort of look ahead until the end of the year, but would it be reasonable to conclude that net debt by the time of the project is commissioned, the ammonia project, will probably be less than 3,000 crores at the end of it?
Well, difficult to say, but ammonia, like I said, we need to incur roughly about 1,500 crore additional. And out of this, roughly, I think half of it will come by way of debt and half of it will come by way of equity. So as such on ammonia, yes, gross debt perspective, it will add about 750 odd crores by the time project is complete. But when it comes to net debt, I think it will all depend on our internal cash generation and cash position. So that I wouldn't be able to give you any guidance at such.
Great. That's very helpful. And one last thing was just in terms of the situation on the ground in terms of gas prices and ammonia prices. So what is your thought process in terms of finalizing any gas contracts and how are you seeing the economics for the ammonia project at current market levels? Thank you so much.
So at current market level, as much as the gas prices are elevated, even ammonia prices are high, and I mentioned that in earlier calls also, that at the current prices, including the state incentive that we have where we get 9% SGST reimbursement till we recover 75% of our CapEx, and some of the energy related benefits that we have at the new project, the margins are currently at, I would say significantly better than what we had when we had started the project, almost in the range of $400 to $500 per ton. As far as gas and ammonia prices are concerned, you would appreciate that gas is also getting driven by what's happening in Europe, particularly because of Russia-Ukraine war and the stand taken by Russia on supply of gas to to Europe, and therefore Europe also trying to bridge the gap through various LNG import from U.S. and other geography. So I think that aspect of it is, honestly, we are seeing pretty much every 2-3 weeks there is new news, new development. Very difficult to predict. The second factor that may affect the gas prices also is how severe the winter is, as we move into winter for Europe and U.S. I think all of those aspects will play a kind of a significant effect on gas prices and to an extent ammonia prices, because ammonia prices are, given the incremental cost of or marginal cost of production of ammonia is dependent on what's happening in European gas prices. There is a level that there seems like a strong linkage at this moment between these two commodities. But it's very, like I said, you know, it's every pretty much every month is a new development. Very difficult to predict what might happen.
Understood. Thank you so much, Amit. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vidhi Dadia from Redan Securities. Please go ahead.
A broader picture. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hello? Are you able to hear me, sir?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead with your question.
Okay. So my question is, can you help us with the volume and realization trends in TAN and nitric acid for the next two quarters, a broader picture?
Sorry, what? Can you repeat your question?
Hello?
Can you repeat your question, please?
Sure, sure, sir. Sir, can you help us with the volume trends in TAN and nitric acid segment and also the expected realizations, the broader picture, sir, for the next two quarters?
See, the only point that I can confirm or guide at this stage is that Q2, as is the case every year, is a quarter where demand for both TAN and nitric acid typically is on the lower side, because in nitric acid, again, the inorganic nitration segment is also linked with what happens on the explosive side. And to that extent, the Q2 is likely to be a weaker quarter compared to what we saw in Q1. But beyond Q3, Q4, I would go back to the point that Mr. Mehta also mentioned, and we've been saying that we are seeing a good demand both on the explosive side as well as on nitric acid side. Explosive driven by coal as well as infra and cement segment, and nitric acid largely by nitration segment, which is again is somewhere we're seeing that China plus one shift, and a lot of our customer downstream customers are seeing very strong demand of their products and their order book. So I think that with that directionally, I think Q3, Q4, we expect the demand to continue to remain robust. I think that's pretty much what I would be in a position to say at this stage.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much and congratulations on a good quarter and right direction. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Chinmaya Bhargava from Chetan Phala Capital.
Hi, all. Nice to meet you. I hope you can hear me.
We can hear you. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So I have a couple of questions. I'm not going to ask about TAN realization, but so a majority of our nitric acid is consumed in-house. right? So if I'm continuing to look at, let's say, solar grade nitric acid, does this fall in the concentrated nitric acid segment? And how much higher realizations do you expect for solar grade nitric acid compared to our current end use?
So we are right now in the process of developing some of these products based on the requirement we are seeing in these segments, and therefore it is till we establish the volume as well as what value add that we need to do, meaning that what is the additional cost to be incurred and what realizations can we make. It's right now we are not in a position to guide you on the margin, but needless to say, the whole idea of getting into specific segments and catering to specific requirements of the end user is to basically look at value-based pricing, and that's what we expect, that therefore the margins are likely to be better than the plain vanilla grade nitric acid.
Okay, and are we thinking about expanding our capacities in concentrated nitric acid after the TAN capacities, or is it too early to think about that right now?
It's too early. Board hasn't taken any decision, so I won't be able to guide you anything on that.
No, that's fine. Next question is, I've been hearing of the coal industry looking at a PLI, like a PLI scheme for TAN. Could you share if there's talks of that happening?
We don't have, we've been obviously, because of the way PLI scheme was proposed by the government, we were also exploring whether that would be available for TAN, but as of now, we don't have any firm news on that. We've also, like yourself, we have also heard it in the press. So I don't have anything firm to mention.
Okay, fine. That's fair. Last question from my side is, could you just tell us about the consequence of the income tax issue that we had for 500 crores? I know we said we're confident of defending it, but if you could give me some details on why we're confident and where this stems from. Thank you.
So essentially, most of the demand is a consequence of disallowance of goodwill and intangible, depreciation on goodwill and intangible, and that both on the judicial precedent and also the fact that in Finance Act 2021, government had prospectively disallowed depreciation on goodwill. That is the reason we believe that retrospectively, when we had claimed depreciation on goodwill and intangible, is something that would be defendable, and that is where our belief that this would not have any, I mean, fundamentally it's a legally defendable claims.
Okay, and there won't be any outlay until it's challenged in court and it's heard in court, right?
At this moment, we'll have to discuss with the department that whether before appealing at the next stage, would there be a requirement for any deposit of tax? But in the worst case, that will not be more than the 20% of the demand made by the department.
Okay, so at worst case, our balance sheet will look like it did last quarter, because from the debt levels that you've mentioned, it looks like our net debt is still roughly the same as what it was last quarter, and we've got about 400 crores of cash.
Yeah, no, so I don't know what is the link between the two, but what I can confirm is that given that the demand made by the department is for 569 crores, the maximum that we may be required to deposit is 20% of this, roughly say 100 odd crores, But even that depends on if we would make an appeal for, given that the amount is large, we'll see how what dispensation department is willing to give us. And to that extent, that's the maximum outgo at this stage till we go into the next stage of appealing.
Now I understand. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Laser Securities. Please go ahead.
So how do we see the 10 prices compared to last quarter?
Compared to last quarter?
Jan to March and from April to June. So is the prices have gone up, or is it just that the volume ramp up has helped you clock more sales or profits?
See, quarter on quarter, we have in fact reported in our presentation the revenues from TAN. Quarter on quarter, the increase in volume as far as TAN is concerned is about 12%. So you can then maybe just make a back calculation to see how much of the increase in revenue is because of volume and how much of it because of price.
And price will be what? How much increase will be there on effect of price, if you can share?
Now that's what I said, that the volume have gone up by 12%. Mm-hmm. And we have reported the revenues from 10 segment last quarter as well as this quarter.
Okay.
And to that extent, you could just do a back calculation to see what the per ton or rather NSPs would have gone up by both quarter on quarter and YOY.
Okay, oh, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Darshan Javeri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello sir, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. I just wanted to ask, after our project completion, what kind of revenue can we foresee for the next year, or something could that be available to be guided, or how? What would be the benefit, or if not the revenue, then the benefit of the new ammonia plant?
See, as I said, ammonia was largely it for our own consumption. So on a consolidated level, it would not lead to increase in revenue, but it would, depending on the margins that we make in ammonia projects, which is typically the ammonia gas delta, on which I just, earlier I had answered that question. That is the likely improvement as far as the margins or bottom line is concerned. But from a revenue perspective, it is, at console level, it will not as such result in because it's all for entirely for our own captive consumption.
Thank you for that answer, sir. And we've seen very good growth in this quarter one, sir. So how much of it would be sustainable going forward? I imagine our demand is, we don't see any problem in demand, so the revenue in quarter one could be assumed as sustainable?
Look, revenue, I think two aspects that we mentioned, and I would again draw your attention to those. One is that if you look at the capacity utilizations in some of our segments, there is still a good headroom available in terms of better capacity utilization. So if the demand, with the exception of Q2, which has its own sort of demand reduction aspects in chemical segment, but with that exception, if the demand continues, which we are confident it would, then the capacity utilization in these segments, there is a headroom. Also, we've already done debottlenecking of TAN as well as NPK capacity. and that also in terms of would play a role in terms of improvement in our top line. But I think other than that, price-wise, we just mentioned that price, of course, it's very difficult to predict. It'll also depend on what happens to raw material prices and its consequent impact on the finished good prices. So I think you should maybe take guidance more from the demand side or volume numbers that are likely to pan out in next couple of quarters.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. That answers all my questions, sir, and all the best for the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Sharan Nadikur, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my first question is, for the remaining CapEx, you mentioned that 50% will be the equity, whether it will be QIP once again or any other mode of the funding?
No, this is largely through internal generation.
Sorry?
It will be largely through internal generation and the existing cash balance that we have.
Okay. Thank you. And another question is, in the previous two quarters, there was a point raised on the non-core sector commercial property sale, whether that's like going to happen in next one or two quarters or still not on the discussion?
No, I think our reply to that remains the same, that one is we are trying to remove all the regulatory I would say blocks that are there to make sure that any potential monetization of that is done at the full potential. And the second is given that the currently as such from a balance sheet perspective we are fairly comfortable. We'll see the right timing of that as we go in the process of completing our capex and the funding requirement.
Okay, sure. And my last question is customized offerings to the solar and steel sector, the chemicals. So I think someone asked the question and you responded saying that it's still in the development process. So my question is like, once, let's say, considering the huge growth potential in solar and steel in the next few years in India, do you have existing plans to scale up the chemical, like once your invention is done, or like you need to even plan the capex for that sector as well, for the specialty chemical for those two sectors?
So those two sectors, we are looking at product development. Both largely in nitric acid segment. So as such volume perspective, it would go out of the existing volume or some of the better capacity utilizations that we are targeting. But beyond this, as I was mentioning, that there is no decision as of now to increase the capacity or any capex in nitric acid. As and when that happens, we would be informing the stock exchange and investors.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the time. All the best for future.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tarun Dingra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening to all participants. So my question is that you have a non-core assets of rupees around 700 crores that has been giving you losses since the last four quarters. Why don't you exit from that non-core assets and reduce the debt?
I just answered that question and we will take your sentiments back to the management.
And second question is that when my company is going to get debt free?
Sorry, can you repeat that question?
When my company is going to be debt-free? I mean, what time span you are taking that Deepak Fertilizer would be debt-free?
See, if you see today, even from a gross debt, net debt perspective, we have the numbers. We have sort of cash balance practically, but given that we are in a capex mode, both on ammonia and TAN, we are obviously till we complete the capex, we would be cautious in repaying our debt ahead of the schedule. But as these capexes are over, depending on the cash generation, we would certainly look at, because that cash would either have to go for next round of growth, or it is for repaying the debt. There is no reason for us to hold that cash in our books. So I think largely one would have to see how the capex of these two projects pans out in next, let's say, about 24 to 36 months, and also internal cash generation. Based on that, we certainly would, we ourselves would be.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav Marda from Fidelity. Please go ahead. Mr. Madhav, please go ahead with the question. Since there is no reply from the line of Mr. Madhav, we'll go ahead with the next question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Karthik Nagri, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yes. Good afternoon. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate you for a very good set of numbers. I have two questions. In the opening comments, the chairman mentioned regarding the pricing of the chemicals, wherein there would be sometimes a lag, wherein the raw material prices may rise, but the finished product prices might not rise, and the other way around. What I would like to know is that in this quarter, have we had the benefit of the raw material prices going down and the finished product prices not coming down, or vice versa? And my second question is, you made us understand regarding the price of gas and ammonia. What I just want to know is, the company assured of gas supply when the ammonia project starts?
So to your first question, as I said that, if you look at the volumes in chemical segment, both TAN and acid, you can also look at what the margins had been, or compared to the volume growth, what has been the overall sales growth. And to that extent, yes, I think that the margins have expanded, and so it's obvious that the finished good prices have compared to raw material prices, finished good prices have seen higher expansion. But the second aspect on your question on the gas availability. See, gas availability per se is not a challenge even today, because India has enough LNG terminals and therefore import capacity. Also, both ONGC Reliance, what we understand based on the progressive auctions that have happened from their fields, they also have the plans to increase their production profile. And to that extent, a combination of both domestic and imported gas, if there is enough availability. It is more about at what price is this gas available, and which is where I earlier mentioned that today, even at the current prices of gas, So we also keep buying spot gas every quarter, incremental quantity based on our production profile or our internal utility consumption. And we are buying gas even at this price, current price in our overall portfolio. And to that extent, it's the price and what effect does it have or what kind of margins can one make with the current prices of ammonia is the aspect that one has to track. But availability is not an issue.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Madhav Marda from Fidelity. Please go ahead. Mr. Madhav, please go ahead with the question. Mr. Madhav, if you have muted yourself from your phone, please unmute yourself and go ahead with your question.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, please. We can hear you.
Hello?
We can hear you. Can you?
Yeah. So sorry, there's some issue with my line. No, my question was that basically, could you help me understand the CapEx that we have for FY 23 and 24, given the projects that are ongoing with ammonia and TAN, please?
So in ammonia, which we are targeting to complete by Q1, let's say somewhere in May 23, we are yet to incur. From here on, we have another 1,500 crore of CapEx in ammonia project.
Yes.
As far as TAN is concerned, this year, this financial year, we would incur somewhere like 550-600 crores in this year for TAN.
Okay. So that's 2,100. And then any other maintenance or any other small CapEx for the existing lines and something like that? So we could get the number for the full year.
So there is normal maintenance CapEx, and there is also we've completed one round of debottlenecking in TAN. The second phase of debottlenecking, we are still awaiting the technical details, and depending on that, though the numbers are not going to be very big as far as debottlenecking expenses, but those would be the additional expenses beyond the TAN and ammonia CapEx.
So would it be fair to say that the CapEx for FY 23 should be within 2,500 crores, including the debottlenecking and the maintenance?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then FY 24, what does that look like? So ammonia should be largely complete, and then you would have TAN, the balance.
Ammonia would be largely complete. And by that time, assuming that we would have incurred, let us say, 600-odd crores in TAN from here on, we would have completed almost 1,000 crores in TAN. After that, over next 18-20 months, we would incur the balance 1,200 crores.
Okay. Good. Understood. All right, sir. Great. Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Meet Vora from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just want to get the breakup for margins for TAN and.
We can't hear you. Can you speak a bit aloud?
Hello? No. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, but we were not able to hear you earlier. Can you just?
Yeah. No, really?
Not very clear.
Mr. Meet, you are not audible. Can you speak a little louder?
Yeah.
Sir, can you share the segment-wise margins for TAN and nitric acid both?
We don't report segment-wise. I mean, we report chemical segment and fertilizer segment. And that is, we've already shown that in our earnings presentation.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nishit Shah from Equitas Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'd like to congratulate on this great set of numbers. Sir, I have only one question. So in Q1, you highlighted we faced some issues which impacted our capacity utilization. So in Q2, are we facing any issues?
Sorry, what... Can you repeat that question?
Yeah. Q1? So in Q1, we highlighted in our presentation that there were some issues which impacted our capacity utilization. So in Q2, are we facing any issues?
No. So in Q1, one effect was of a raw material, rather raw water shortage, which was because of MIDC had taken some maintenance shutdown of their pipeline. Now that is over, such that is unlikely to affect. The other aspect of we had MOP shortage in quarter one, and that is now better compared to Q2, or compared to Q1.
Okay, that's it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Priyan Purohit from Kamayakya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. So I can clearly see that, you know, since if I compare to FY21, the chemical segment has been contributing quite significantly to your bottom line specifically. So just wanted to understand, if do you have any plans for doing any capex for the fertilizer segment, or probably entering into some niche fertilizer segments which are, you know, maybe not NPK based, maybe something like potassium based fertilizers, or just wanted to know your outlook on that segment. Thank you.
No such plan or decision taken by the board.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot, sir. And secondly, just wanted to ask that there's been a sharp drop in IPA capacity utilization. If I compare it with Q4, I think it has dropped from 88% to 58%. So what's the reason for that, sir? Are you already experiencing the muted demand that you are saying, which you are forcing in Q2? Are you already experiencing those headwinds right now?
So IPA had some production challenges because of raw water, but other than that, IPA margins were under pressure. So we had taken certain sort of shutdowns or you know, plant maintenance in advance rather than waiting for the scheduled one.
All right, sir. So do you see the utilization levels going up in the coming quarters now, considering that these shutdowns would have been a one-off event?
Yeah, we'll have to see the margins. See, there are two things that are playing out right now. One is because of the crude prices, the refinery-grade propylene prices have also gone up, while the IPA prices seem to be have come down or have remained and haven't reflected the increase in prices of crude and propylene, because the IPA is made through the other route as well. The second aspect is that we are currently also looking expansion of our you know, product profile to into pharma grade IPA and a couple of other you know, special applications. And to the extent there, our margins are better than the plain vanilla standard grade IPA. So depending on how we are able to ramp up the volumes in the specialty grade and what happens to the margins, our capacity utilization would be calibrated accordingly in quarter two.
All right, sir. Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is on the line of Shubham Thorat from Perpetual Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and congratulations on very good set of numbers this quarter. So my question is related to our fertilizer business vertical. So we can see a quite subdued performance from this vertical this quarter. So how do you see this fertilizer business shaping up in the coming quarters?
I think Mahesh is here. He would.
So if you see, the agri fertilizer consumption takes place during Kharif and Rabi, and in the first quarter we had a bit of a delayed rainfall. Start of the rainfall in the month of June was more lower than the previous year. That has got shifted to July. From July onward, there is proper rainfall, and we are seeing that in western part of India where we operate, rainfall is even more, and we have a better reservoir fill. So from that perspective, we don't see any challenges from agriculture perspective, as well as the commodity prices are good. And if you see, as well as your question related to the fertilizer performance, we are in a range of 10% of year-to-year performance. From last quarter, we have nearly doubled our net income, as we reported. Industry-wise, there was a little bit of reduction in the volume in the first half, but we have maintained our market share. As well as you may have noticed that we already launched next level of category, innovation category, which is crop tech products, which are unique product with 8 nutrients, along with nutrient unlock technology. As well as we continue to launch in water-soluble fertilizer business, also new products. So we are moving up on our innovation curve and continue to launch better products every quarter and scale them up.
Okay, yes, sir. And just a small clarification. So did you say that Greenfield Ammonia project is going to be commissioned by Q1 FY24? And tank plant is going to be commissioned by a second part in FY24. Is that right?
Yeah, so the ammonia project, yes, it will be in quarter one, FY24. But tank project would be in the calendar year, second half of calendar year 24.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your participation. For any further queries or clarifications, please do get in touch with our investor relationship team. Thank you once again. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.